You're listening to highlights from OTB AM, Off the Ball's new daily breakfast show. It's live every weekday morning from 7:45. Watch us on Facebook, YouTube or Twitter, or listen live at offtheball.com.
Well. Welcome. It's nearly Christmas and the sports news gods are shining upon us this morning because there is big breaking news with regards to Chris Froome. We'll tell you about that in a couple of minutes' time. They said it would never work. But there's no need for a morning sports breakfast nonsense talk.
Yeah. There's nothing to tell anybody.
No,
everybody saw the football last night.
Exactly. And so what else are you going to talk about?
That's it. And everybody can read the papers themselves.
I don't need this stuff.
We've kind of invented this new medium where it's completely pointless because you have television to watch the football and you have the newspapers to read all the news because nothing could ever happen in that interim period and between last night and this morning.
You've got your phones in case you need them. So what's coming up on the show today? Well, we're talking about the cyclist Chris Froome. Chris Froome, the greatest cyclist of all time, obviously, has been on an amazing, era-defining cascade of winning. Iguan.
You've suited up for the occasion, I see.
I have, yeah. Well, big news requires... you've only just realised that.
You came in a T-shirt and then suddenly the Froome news broke. It's like, let me suit up.
Well, let me just explain what's going on. So there's been an adverse finding against Chris Froome for one of the asthma drugs that he uses to manage his asthma. Which is obviously a pre-existing condition. Nothing to see there, folks. But he had 2,000 milligrams of this particular drug in his system. The maximum permitted level is 1,000. And this has happened to a couple of other cyclists in the past. And they've been stripped of whatever event they won or were participating in when they used this substance. And they were also subsequently banned for up to 12 months. So this is a big, big story in the world of cycling. This adverse finding was taken during the final week of the Vuelta, which obviously Chris Froome won. First cyclist since 1978, I think, to win the Tour de France and the Vuelta in the same year. And so he's come out fighting. Sky have come out fighting. Interesting nuances in the statements from both Sky and Chris Froome, where it's said that he followed the advice of the doctors on Team Sky. So it's hard to see if Froome is kind of placing the blame with his medical team. Sky are kind of saying, we're sure Chris followed the advice of the medical team, as opposed to, we think the medical team got this right. The UCI have made a statement this morning saying, well, look, this is really nothing to do with us just yet. We'll pay attention to what's happening. It's supposed to be an independent process and we'll only intervene when the results come out fully. It is Guardian exclusive this morning. Martha Kellner and Sean Ingle have broken this story.
In conjunction with Le Monde, I think.
Sorry, yeah, okay. So that's we're starting to see this a bit more actually in these stories where you do find two large media organisations being able to tic-tac on various elements of it. And I don't know, this feels like a fairly monumental shift in the narrative around Chris Froome, because once this adverse finding is found, you can't put that back in. You have to explain how it happened.
Also, the big Chris Froome lovers out there will say that Chris Froome has actually got a very, very hard time. Now, you've mentioned those couple of cyclists that have had adverse findings for salbutamol in the past. Just to give specifics on that, the Italian cyclist Alessandro Patacci was banned for a year in 2007. His finding was 1,320 nanograms per milliliter of salbutamol. The other person was Diego Ulisi, who was banned for 9 months for 1,900 nanograms per millilitres. Chris Froome has tested for 2,000 nanograms per milliliter. So he's tested above both of these guys who both got very lengthy bans. So I'm interested to hear what the people who think that Chris Froome is getting a very, very hard time have to say now, because if he doesn't get a punishment that comes somewhere in line with these guys, then he is looked upon by the cycling world very favourably. So is this really the new age UCI? Well, we're going to find out very, very soon. The statement, as you said, from Team Sky is very interesting. Dave Brailsford has saying that Chris Froome surely had followed all the protocol that he's been given. Froome himself is saying, well, the doctor gave me the allowed amount of salbutamol here. Everybody knows I suffer with asthma. But just looking a little bit deeper into this salbutamol thing, there's a guy called Richard Van Zyl Schmidt, who is of the head lung clinical research unit at the University of Cape Town, which is a lung institute in itself, who you would imagine is quite an expert on asthma and salbutamol. He says it's a stimulant. It's likely to give you nothing more than bad shakes and heart palpitations. So it's not hugely performance enhancing. But he says if you're using high quantities of this stuff, you should not be competing in top level sport, let alone going on to win the Vuelta a España.
Because it's an indicator that you're suffering really badly from asthma.
Precisely. And this seems to be a thing that happens to a lot of athletes. Like Bradley Wiggins has struggled with asthma in the past. It seems quite prevalent.
Look, there's a lot of asthmatics in a lot of rugby dressing rooms. You know, the prevalence of asthma amongst elite sports is way higher than it is amongst team off the ball. Having said that, like, all of my children have asthma, and maybe this is just something that we kind of, like, need to counterbalance with. Like, a lot of people do get asthma.
Well, after reading all this stuff this morning, I've got asthma, so I'm going to put down asthma as my reason. Well, I'm not sure, should I be saying that because I've got asthma, I should have been a Tour de France cyclist? Or do I use asthma as the excuse for why I'm not a top-level athlete?
Maybe if you got the right...
I'm starting to think that it's no excuse, that it should be a reason to become a top-level athlete.
Exactly. If you got the right gear as a 15-year-old, who knows what would have happened?
Well, that's it, exactly.
More like you would have been kicking points for Kerry as opposed to winning it.
Well, who knows? There's great cycling
routes. One of those nippy corner forwards that comes out to the half-forward line and pings the ball in. The natural successor to Gooch, basically.
Yeah, that's a story for another day, really, isn't it?
It's well known that I have asthma and I know exactly what the rules are, says Chris Froome in his statement on the Sky cycling website. I use an inhaler to manage my symptoms, always within the permissible limits. Is it always within the permissible limits? Well, apparently not at the Vuelta. I know for sure that I will be tested every day. I wear the race leader's jersey. Okay, never failed a test in my life is the subtext to that. We've heard that one before. My asthma got worse at the Vuelta, so I followed the team doctor's advice to increase my salbutamol dosage. I didn't do this on my own. This is like it takes a village to raise an idiot. As always, I took the greatest care to ensure that I did not use more than the permissible dose. I take my leadership position in my sport very seriously. The UCI is absolutely right to examine test results, and together with the team, I will provide whatever information it requires. And then team principal, Sir Dave Brailsford. Sir Dave. There are complex medical and physiological issues which affect the metabolism and excretion of salbutamol. Here's the science bit. Mm. We're committed to establishing the facts and understanding exactly what happened on this occasion. We haven't got a clue what's going on here. I have the utmost confidence that Chris followed the medical guidance in managing his asthma symptoms, staying within the permissible dose for salbutamol. Of course, we will do whatever we can to help address these questions. Just need some time to think up a proper answer to this before we can kind of go, oh, it was really hot. He was sweating a lot. He's so skinny now that the maximum permissible... this is my prediction of what they're going to say. Very hot, dehydration, bad asthma. It took, you know, the level that was required by the doctors, but his body didn't metabolize it the same way this time because he's got such a unique body.
That sounds like a good move. I think you should become their PR manager for Team Sky. I think all those points should be included in the next statement. The one thing, though, is if we take Chris Froome at his word and the doctor did indeed say, Chris, take this level of salbutamol, take this inhaler, you're going to be fine.
Yeah.
Let's take Chris at his word there. Why do Sky continue to employ people who do not know what they're doing? Why do they employ a doctor who is telling his athletes to take a level of salbutamol that is double the allowed dose?
Well, the amount in his system was double the amount permitted. But I'm telling you that the answer to this is going to be that his body metabolized this differently from you or I, because he's a unique alien who has been put amongst us to win tours of France, Spain, and next year Italy.
Just ignore the fact that he's the skinniest man in the world. His metabolism is really, really slow. He couldn't get rid of this from his system quick enough. But everything else, he's just, you know, he's a skeleton. He doesn't put on any body mass except for the specific drug salbutamol. It's magic, Ger.
Yeah, there you go. All right, let's move on. Just want to very quickly talk to Martha Kellner, who's the chief sports reporter of The Guardian, because they've broken a huge story along with their colleagues at Le Mans this morning that there was an adverse drugs finding against Chris Froome in the Vuelta. Martha, good morning to you. Can you tell us a little bit about the genesis of this story and what the potential repercussions are for Chris Froome?
Yeah, good morning. So the genesis of the story is basically a number of sources came to both the Guardian and Le Monde advising us that during the Vuelta a España in September that Chris Froome had a urine test that had returned an adverse analytical finding, which is the equivalent of a failed drugs test. It's not an anti-doping rule violation per se, because they do get the chance to appeal, but the length of bans have varied with the finding that Froome has had against him, which is that he's had double the permitted level of salbutamol, which is a drug he takes to treat asthma. So it could vary from anything between a slap on the wrist to a 6 month, even a year long ban or longer. It's just going to be a watching brief, really, to see how the UCI choose to deal with it and whether Chris Froome is able to explain why he did have double the amount of permitted levels of salbutamol in his system at that point.
The initial response from Froome and his team have been to say that he had the asthma worsened over the final week of the mm-hmm. Vuelta, and so they took more medicine and they took it under medical supervision. But that's kind of the doctor told me to take this defence, when we know that ignorance is never a defence in these cases.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. Chris Froome says he was acting on the guidance of the Team Sky doctor. There was, I've got an exact name of the doctor who was out there at the Vuelta with them. But he says that the doctor advised him to take increased levels of this medication, and that he did so under supervision. He doesn't feel like he's knowingly broken rules, or he doesn't feel like he's broken rules at all. But ignorance is no defence in these anti-doping cases. And the UCI will be under pressure to not be showing any special favours to Chris Froome, regardless of his status in the sport.
Yeah, notwithstanding that, it does seem that this has come to light only because of the excellent work of you guys and your colleagues at Le Monde, as opposed to it actually being made public so far by the UCI or the Vuelta organisers or the agency who's doing the tests.
Yeah, so there's no legal onus on either the UCI or Team Sky to make it public, but it is interesting that the only reason they have made it public is because ourselves and our colleagues at Le Monde have forced their hand. The UCI sometimes choose to make anti-doping rule violations, or they have to make anti-doping rule violations public. But with an adverse analytical finding, they can wait basically until there's a resolution to the case. But as we know, Chris Froome's working with a team of scientists and lawyers with Team Sky to try and find a resolution to the problem, to try and explain the reasons behind why he did have so much salbutamol in his system. There can be a number of different explanations for it. Some people have a higher secretion rate in their urine, possibly because they're dehydrated. There can be a number of other reasons. And there's a thing that they can do called a pharmacokinetics test, which basically often involves spending prolonged periods of time in a laboratory, up to 16 hours, where your urine is tested every 2 hours under a number of conditions to see how the medication is reflected in the samples, basically.
Just on the last point, Martha, how does this change the perception of Chris Froome? Because all the people who've mm-hmm. had big suspicions of Froome, they've just been associating him with Dave Brailsford, or with the suspicions around Bradley Wiggins. Mm-hmm. It's all been to do with association. But this is the first time we've had something pinned on the head of Chris Froome. So I'd imagine this mm-hmm. is going to change the public perception of him as a national hero. He's nominated for Sports Personality of the Year once again this year.
Yeah.
This changes things massively, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you can see from the way people react to Chris Froome on the continent when he's riding in the Tour de France. He's had the urine poured over him. He's been physically threatened, which has been sad to see in the past, because he is, a national hero, four-time Tour de France winner. But this is the first time that Chris Froome has been directly implicated in any suspected wrongdoing. It's the first time there's been any hint of wrongdoing attached to Chris Froome himself. Obviously, as you alluded to, we had the situation with Bradley Wiggins and the jiggy bag package last year, which obviously was a massive crowd over Team Sky. Chris Froome did very well to distance himself from that. He took the unusual step of publicly challenging Team Sky and Bradley Wiggins, saying they have questions to answer over that. But now Chris Froome has questions to answer himself.
Martha, you've been really good with your time, and I know this is a massive breaking story for you guys. One last point, you mentioned the watching brief. Mm-hmm. How much longer do you think before we actually get some proper further information about what the defence Froome is going to make against this is, and what the repercussions are?
Yeah, it's a bit of a strange one, because I would have expected to have, some sort of resolution back. Just a brief bit of explanation. The A sample returned an adverse analytical finding. Team Sky then requested to look at the B sample. Chris Froome wasn't actually there at the opening of the B sample, but the B sample confirmed the findings of the A sample. So we're now tied up in this legal process. I would expect in the next month. I would think Team Sky and Chris Froome are as keen to have a resolution to this as anyone, because then they can either get going with whatever the ban might be, or clear the name of Chris Froome, which is obviously what they would want to do. I would say sooner rather than later, but it's a bit of guesswork at the moment.
Martha, great stuff. Great work. Thanks very much for joining us this morning.
Thank you very much.
You've been listening to a highlights podcast from OTBAM. If you want to watch us live, we're on Facebook, Twitter and YouTube every morning from 7:45 a.m.